Welcome. I'm very glad you came. And and I want to say the blending of your voices is always so delightful. Thank you so much. We love Heart Dream. They're wonderful. And today, Pamela Grace, Reverend Pamela Grace, is giving us a talk, a message. And I'm Donna. And everybody is welcome. At this time in our history, we are experiencing a lot of changes in our lives and in our surroundings, in our environment, in the politics, of course. And so I have chosen this inspiration for us all. It's called For the Ones Willing to Change Things. For the Ones Willing to Change Things. We give thanks for the spark within us that refuses to be silenced. For the dreamers, the doers, the divine misfits who feel the pull of something. Today, we answer that call. We say yes to becoming a living faith, not just believing in the possible, but embodying it. Not just trusting the light, but being it. In our words, in our prayer, in the way we rise, in the way we rise to meet the day, we say yes to being a loving presence. Wide open, heart forward, unafraid to see things differently, we bless the rebels and the round pegs in the triangular spaces. The ones who challenge the norm because they see what others cannot yet fathom. We say yes to joyful dreaming, to painting on the invisible canvas, to dancing with ideas too beautiful to be ordinary, to believe in visions that are not yet seen. May we never shrink from the wonder we carry in our bones. May we just be wild enough, just brave enough to make a difference. And now we're going to sing Surely the Presence. And part of creating peace is remembering the gift that Mother Earth gives us every day. Air to breathe, water to drink, earth to plant our vegetables. And we have so many gifts that come to us every single day. And the sunshine that we're having right now, so beautiful and so empowering, really. It empowers everything that we have. So let us remember the gratitude to Mother Earth and how important it is for us to take care of our Earth. So let's say the Earth prayer together. Let us remember we are given partnership as stewards of the Earth, and we have a responsibility to live in a right relationship with the whole of God's creation. Thank you. So important, so good. Thank you. So we're going to have some music with Heart Dream, right?
That's so good to see you all.
Hi.
I see some folks I haven't seen in a minute, but I miss Sundays, so I don't always see everybody. But we so appreciate your coming in and being willing to step out of the magic of this absolutely gorgeous day. And whoever brought the flowers, they're just beautiful. Oh, thank you for that. They are gorgeous and lovely put together. And it's so good to hear our musicians whom I haven't heard before. Lovely, lovely music and harmonies. So you probably know I'm Reverend Pamela, but just in case there's somebody in here I haven't met, there's someone I haven't met. Wonderful. And so, you know, I'm a New Thought minister. I came through Science of Mind, but I have to admit that unity's always been in my world as I was going through Science of Mind. And as Annie was saying, our marching in the Pride Parade so people know we're here. I didn't know we were here for years. I've been coming back and forth on the island before I got married and moved here. And I didn't know you were here until I met Yana, and she let me know she played here, and I was like, there's a Unity Church. So there are probably more people like me out there who would love to know that we're here. So maybe marching will help. So my talk today is about, it's called Don't Limit the Unlimited, but it's about recognizing that there are many, many possibilities, and that there's a universal power that we can reach into and open up to and have move through us and out into the world to create the lives we want to live. Now, I'm frequently talking about us because, as far as I'm concerned, it starts with us. It starts with the individual. And after I wrote my talk, I just want you to know that it was after I wrote my talk, because I love how this works. I was thumbing through this book that I've read before, The Super Beings, Overcoming Limitations Through the Power of the Mind, by John Randolph Price. Anybody familiar with him? He's been around for years and years and years. New Thought became very popular in the 1800s, believe it or not. And the reason that Unity and Science of Mind are cousins is because Phineas Quimby, who actually developed this process of using our minds to make ourselves healthy, is where it started from. People who were sick, who couldn't get cured by doctors, found a way to use their minds to fix themselves. And then it moved into fixing our lives, creating lives for ourselves. And how we do this is through a number of steps. We have processes that Unity teaches and other New Thought organizations teach, like meditation and prayer and affirmations and visioning, to help create that. So there are all these little tools. I'm not going to go that deep into the tools this morning. You're spared. But what I loved about this book by John Randolph Price, as I was looking at what I'd highlighted in the past to see if there was anything that related to what I was saying today. And he said, what the mind, oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you, thank you. He said, I'm reminded of the often quoted statement, what the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve. It sounds like a simple process. What you see is what you get. But it's not easy. Much effort and discipline are required in controlling the conscious mind, because it is this phase of mind that feeds the subconscious. So what we're thinking goes into our heads, into our beings, and out into the world. Are any of you familiar with Eddie Watkins, the singer, writer, music writer? He's New Thought. And he wrote a song called Change That Stinky Thinking. He's amazing. If you Google him or YouTube him or Spotify him, you will love, I love his music. But he talks about how, you know, how we think, when it stinks, that's what we're going to get in our lives. So when we're thinking, why did this happen to me? Well, you might have something to do with that, Pookie. There may be a piece of you in that. That's the hard part. I grew up in a Baptist church, Baptist Christian church, and anything bad was blamed on the devil. In New Thought, we don't have that luxury. We have to look at ourselves and what we were thinking and what we were holding as possibility and reality. We don't get to say, oh, it was its fault or their fault. The minute we're doing that, we've stepped out of an understanding of what this philosophy is. So the other thing that Randolph was saying is law becomes your servant. Even though it will flow from the Christ Center on a mission of the highest vision, it will change its purpose, objective, and destination according to the tone of your consciousness. So the unlimited becomes limited, and it will move heaven and earth to make sure, if you say, I don't have enough, that you don't. That goes back to changing your stinky thinking. If we're thinking, oh, I can't, oh, I don't have enough, oh, this is terrible and we're all gonna die. We're putting an energy out into the world that helps create that. So that's the bad news. So the good news is we can change our energy, change our stinky thinking, and as the individuals that we are, we can put, I like to call it a new cause in action, but as we're changing how we're thinking and we're changing how we see the world, and we're embracing the possibilities, embracing the opportunities, and saying, yeah, there's a way, then we become a part of a new cause in action, a new force, a new picture. We don't have to fall into the pity party. You know how easy it is to fall into the pity party? Do I have to name any pity parties, or do we already know what some pity parties are? Yeah, you do. You do. So, you know, see, oh, ain't it awful? Oh, my God. Are we going to get through the next 2 years? But I'm not being political. I'm just saying that there are times when we fall into, I'm going to say, the trap of believing what we think we see in front of us. We say, this is the truth. This is how it is. We're standing, say, in Langley on a very rainy day, and we say, oh, it's raining, like it's going to rain for the rest of our lives here in Langley, which is not the truth. Today is an example. Yesterday or last week it was raining, yay. Today the sun is shining, yay. We have to know beyond what we see in front of us. First, we have to accept that we are connected to a power that's bigger than we are, knows more than we are. It's an amazing thing. That's the good thing of this philosophy. Going back to, it's done to us, it's done through us. And all we need to do is open the doors of our minds, our hearts, our souls to allow that to come through. You know, how many have said, and I'm just going to put this out there, how many have said, you know, one person can't make a difference? Or, I'm just one person, I can't make a difference. Well, that's not true. We have seen one person make a difference. And we can make a difference too, right where we are, in our families, in our communities. We can be the difference we want to see in the world. And in fact, that can be our job, to be the difference we want to see in the world. And I will confess, oh, I forgot to tell you, that as I talk to you every time I talk to you, I am not talking from a been there, done that. I'm inviting you on my journey of being there and learning to do that. So I haven't got all this stuff mastered, but I'm aware of it. So that's the first step. And I'm experimenting with it. And that's what I'm inviting you all to do. And I know I've got, like, I'm preaching to the choir. You know, I know, like, you pretty much know what I'm talking about. There's the knowing. Mm-hmm. Then there's the doing. And then there's the being. So we move from conscious effort to automatically knowing and automatically doing what will help bring peace in the world, love in the world. And we start right where we are, right here, right in our family, right in this room, right in the neighborhood, right in the town, and move out. I mentioned that we think, oh, one person can't make a difference. Where I lived in Renton, I would go to Safeway and everybody would be busy with their shopping carts and nobody would be looking at anybody. And there wasn't a lot of diversity in Renton either, but what little diversity was, I would say, oh, look, there's a brown person. And that brown person would be like everybody else. They'd be going this way and that way, and they'd be ignoring me. And I thought, you know, I feel totally unseen in this community. But I had to make the change. So if I wanted to be seen, I had to say, good morning. You look lovely today. And every time I did that, the person would perk up and smile. And every time somebody did that to me unsolicited, I would perk up and smile and pass it on. And there was one morning I was coming out of the parking lot, and there was a great big hulking guy with piercings and a head scarf around, and he had red hair and a beard and bike leathers and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not sure that's one of the people I should say, good morning, you look lovely too. I think I'm just going to kind of ease on by this one. But I was looking at him, and he smiled and said, hey, girl, how you doing? And I said, I'm fine. How are you? I just didn't expect that to come out of his mouth. I was expecting something gruff and whatever. But he's like, hey, I'm cool. You're cool, too. So I was making a mistake by judging him by how he looked. He looks rough and tough and unfriendly. And he wasn't that at all. And so what we're seeing and believing about what we're seeing are not always the same, you know, judging a book by its cover. So going back to not limiting the limitless, first recognizing that that's the truth, that's the most important thing. Well, second, one is we're all connected, and we're connected to a power that's bigger than we are and can come through us and make it so. That's one. Two is recognizing that that power is unlimited. What looks to be impossible is not impossible. It just may need to show up differently, and we may need to show up differently for this power to move through us and change. And I notice when I say, okay, fine, I know I'm in my what they call little self, I'm just going to say, okay, I'm open. I'm open. Sometimes I won't open. No, I am not doing that. That's the end. I'm not opening. I'm sorry. But sometimes I say, well, you know, you could back off of that a little bit and be open. Be open to what might show up. Be open to the good that's in store for us. Sometimes that good comes to us wrapped a little differently than we anticipated. You know what I mean? You're like, you're looking for it to look like this in a red wrapping with the gold bow on it, and it comes in a little tiny silver wrapped package. And you're like, that's not what I asked for. But then you open it up, and by Jove, it's perfect. So being willing to shift a little on how things have to look. I forgot, I was in one of those personal growth workshops where they said, Pamela, you tend to be either or. It's either this or it's either that. Don't you know that there's a myriad of possibilities in between this and that? It's not black and white. There's hundreds of shades of gray. It's not a scorched earth. The lawyers know that term. You just burn it all and leave nothing. No, there's ways you can collaborate or compromise or create something totally new. So being open to the limitless possibilities is so important. And to think, rather than, no, we can't do that, it'll never work, or I don't want to do it, or it's too much trouble, just open up and say, okay, I'm willing to see it work. For example, my darling niece, I have a niece that I adore like Annie adores her grandchildren. And she said, Auntie Pamela, can I have my wedding at your house? It's so pretty. And I said, sure, pumpkin. And then 2 months later, she said, and there's going to be 200 people. Two hundred. So I went online and I said, so when you invite 200 people, roughly how many people come? And online said, oh, about 100. I said, well, we could do 100. I checked with my niece. She said, I've had 175 responses. So I am having to open up and just know that this is all going to work beautifully. They'll be outside on the lawn. I already told her nobody can smoke and she can't have the sparklers she wanted everybody to. I was like, we can't burn down the island for your wedding, Pani. It's just not a good idea. So I'm just open to the possibilities that this could be an absolutely beautiful event for about 150 people. I'm still asking the universe to shave that in a little. But if not, fix it so that it all works. Otherwise, I won't get any sleep between now and July 18th. So I'm just knowing, I put it in bigger hands than mine because obviously I can't control everything. And I'm knowing that it's going to be absolutely the wedding that she wants. I'm so happy for her getting married, her finding this person. We've been through a few and I've said, but I met this one and I interviewed him. I'm an interviewer by trade. I know how to interview. And she's like, Auntie, Auntie. And I'm like, answer the question. He passed beautifully. I met his mom. He's all good. So I'm very happy and I'm just knowing that spirit is in the mix. So that this is an absolutely lovely and beautiful moment for all that attend, and particularly my niece and her intended. I'm just letting it go. So one other thing, by the way, and that is setting intentions. You've heard me talk about that before, yes? And the beauty of setting intentions, I love an intention because it's just so easy. I don't have to go into a closet and pray and light incense and a candle and steal my heartbeat, blah, blah, blah. I can just set that intention. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. It already is in the mind of God, and so it is. And there you go. End of story. So intentions are good. Then another element of this, limiting the limitless or not limiting the limitless, is are you the dreamer or the dreamed? So are you in somebody else's play, reading your part and acting? Or are you writing the play? How much of your life are you living versus somebody else's? So if you are living somebody else's, and that's what you choose to do, and it works for you, okay. But if you're living somebody else's life, somebody else's dream, somebody else's opinion of how you ought to live, if you're doing that, might be a good idea to question, is this really who I want to be? Is this the life that gives me juice and joy and passion? Is this the life that allows me to lift myself up and others? Or is this a life where I'm saying, oh, okay, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And you're not a happy camper. And this isn't a good thing for you, but you have to do it because you should. Don't you love those shoulds? I should do this, so I'm going to. I just talked to someone who went on and on about whether that it's this person's birthday and she should go to the party, and she doesn't want to go to the party. She's not crazy about the people. She knows they're going to be having some form of entertainment and whatever that doesn't rock her boat. She doesn't want to go, but she should. We tried to talk her out of it. She probably will go, it's her choice. But the question is, how often do we do that to ourselves? How often do we say, I should do this because it'll make somebody else happy. It won't make me happy, but it'll make somebody else happy. And how often, so one quick personal story. I had a boyfriend. What was it he disliked? I was dancing, and we had a dance concert. And it was this really cool thing about the poor and the homeless, and we were demonstrating how they're right among us. My boyfriend did not want to go. He didn't like dance. He didn't care about seeing me dance or my friends. He didn't want to go. So he went under duress because I was like, but honey, it's our once a year production. Please come. You're my boyfriend. You're supposed to. You should come. So he came, and he was an amazing person. He had very strong energy. And he came with his mouth poked out. And he sat in the middle of the room. Nobody sat next to him. And one of the dancers came to me and a couple of other folks. She says, who's that guy out there? The guy with all the bad energy. And I'm like, oh, no. Nobody sat next to him. There was a big circle all around him. People walked in and said, so that was the last time I made him do anything he didn't want to do. But that's what we can do. We can put out this energy. I'm just here by duress. I don't want to be here. Somebody said I should be here. How about those poor people who become what their parents said they should have? You should be a doctor. So, yeah, I'm a doctor. And how about having that person who's the doctor because his parents or her parents said that's what you should be, and they didn't want to be that? How about having that doctor be the one who's diagnosing you? Yeah, not so good. So, are you the dreamer or the dreamed? Well, one person I was talking to this week said, I'm the dreamer and the dreamed. And she said that because she said, Spirit is manifesting through me. Spirit is working through me. That makes me the dreamed. But I'm also directing that energy that makes me the dreamer. So I thought, oh, I like that. So I've been sitting with that and thinking about that, and you can too. But I like that. I thought that's a nice, nice change. So this power, and Randolph says it too, I forgot where in there, I didn't mark that piece. Um, You can wonder why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. Well, the power that we're using is impersonal. It's like it rains on the good and the bad and the indifferent. It rains on everybody and depends on how you use it. So it's impersonal. If you have enough spiritual cachet to make it happen, then it'll happen. So some not so good people make tons of money and have airplanes and spaceships, and they don't necessarily have the good of humankind in mind, but they still get what they want. Or so it seems. From other things I've read, and also kind of what I've experienced, there is a price to pay when this power is misused. And we may or may not see it or feel it or know it or recognize it, but it works better if you use the power that we have that we can connect to and create in the world. It works better if we use it for the good of ourselves and others. So when I am, as a practitioner, praying for people, in Science of Mind, we're practitioners. In Unity, you're chaplains. I always say for the highest and best of all concerned, not just the highest and best for my person right in front of me, but for them and all concerned. It changes the game. Changes the outcome as well. So, are you the dreamer or the dreamed? Or are you the dreamer and the dreamed? And one last thing, and I really like this, that Randolph agreed with me, is that we start right where we are. It's okay to make ourselves happy. It's okay to give ourselves a break. It's even better than okay to be compassionate with ourselves. I'm sure there's more than just myself in here who will occasionally beat myself up for not doing it right or not doing what I thought I should have done, and on and on and on and on. And so these past few weeks, I have been practicing having compassion for myself. It's okay, Pamela, you blew it. It's not the end of the world. A whole nation's not going to starve because you just whatever. That would be a reason to feel bad. This is a what they call a first world problem. Just there are people who have a whole lot more to be upset about than what you're upset about right now. So give yourself a break. Say, I'll do it better next time. And there you go. So in closing, we'll have a little meditation. And could I impose on one of our musicians, or both, to do a little music behind the meditation? Thank you so much. So please get comfortable in your seats and close your eyes if you are okay with doing that. And if not, then just find a place to look at, like these beautiful flowers or the scene outside. Take a deep breath and release. And another breath in and release. And we are recognizing and realizing that we can lean into that higher self anytime we want. And if we're having trouble recognizing that self, we can open up to the universal creative intelligence that made all that there is in form, in formlessness, all that there is, be it solid like a rock or soft like an idea, that universal intelligence is in it and it is in us. And we can just invite it to help us see beyond what's in front of us, to help us see more deeply what's within us, to help us sort the junk from the good stuff. We can be in this universal intelligence and have a shift in our hearts, a shift in our thinking, a shift in how we show up in the world in a way that is good for all concerned, all whom we know, all whom we touch. So just breathing into that good, the good that we are just by being who we are. And knowing that who we are is whole, perfect, and complete, regardless of conditions, regardless of history, regardless of all of that. And we are here in this world for a reason, for a purpose. And it is up to us to look into that reason, that purpose, and experiment and play and be open to watching it unfold. And so I declare for us right here, right now, in this room, that we are unfolding in our highest and best. We are unfolding in joy. We continue to learn and dance in the unlimited possibilities of that which created all. And I say, and so it is. Amen. So thank you again for being here, knowing all is well and unfolding as it should.